So now, continuing as a part of the ASAC report, I'd like to call on Executive Vice President and Vice President for Academic Affairs, Dr. Wilson, to discuss with us tuition, fees, and housing, which we've already passed.
I was going to say that.
Thank you. How are we doing so far?
Thank you. Actually, I have more information than just that, so I think it's fine, and I appreciate the opportunity to address the full board, because we talked about a lot of this at ASAC yesterday, but I think it's so important that we all know what we're doing and that we can feel proud of it. So I want to remind all of you that these recommendations are a result of a lot of consultation, deep and serious consultation among a variety of people, including system-level leaders, university leaders at each of our three campuses, budget officers, and, of course, students, and now, of course, the Board of Trustees. So that's really important to underscore. We talk a lot about affordability and about our goals to ensure access, and we heard comments from the chair and from the president at the beginning about the importance of recruiting our students, particularly in the state of Illinois. So this is a big part of what we think about when we set tuition and propose different rates each year. A lot of talk about access and affordability, but we're also looking at the state of Illinois and its challenges with funding higher education, and we also think about inflation-driven costs that we can't ignore each year, and of course, we are always marketing against our peers, and so I'm going to present some data today that Trustee Edwards asked about yesterday, but I knew was in this slide deck, so we'll do it today. All in all, taking all of this into consideration, you've already voted to approve, and we're grateful for that, our recommendation that there will be no increase in in-state tuition for residents undergraduates for next year. And I want to underscore, and I think President Clean has already said this, that this is the fourth consecutive year of a tuition freeze. We know that many of our peers will be increasing tuition this year, and I can give you a couple of examples of that we already know about, but we won't know fully until we hit the into spring more what the peer groups are going to be doing. And it's also the longest time that we've ever had a tuition freeze. So this is 40 years, consecutive years. This is the longest freeze we've held as a system. So I think both of those points are really important to underscore. I hope they demonstrate to you and to Illinois families that our commitment really is to be the destination place for students, for high-quality students in the state of Illinois. Quickly reminding you that these are the base tuition levels for residents across our three universities, and they will show no increase between this year and next year. They differ a little bit because they are in different markets, but one point to underscore is that because of the state mandate that we guarantee tuition for 4 years, anybody coming in as a freshman will see these same rates for 4 years while they're students at our institution, and so that means a tremendous amount of predictability for families and for young people, and we just want to underscore that over and again. So 4-year guarantee, that means you got to hopefully graduate in 4 years, because that guarantee is there for 4 years. You've already approved student fees, but I again want to really commend our universities for holding the line on student fees this year. These are expensive propositions to run these big universities, but we always are very careful about protecting students from taking on too much in the way of fees. You can see here that after a lot of consultation across a lot of categories, that the fee increase is very, very modest. I want to point out that the consumer price index is about 1.6% for inflation this year, so almost everything you're going to see is below that or at that, and the higher ed price index is about 3.6 or 3.7, so we're well below that. The only difference you see, and these are dollar changes across the year at each of the universities. The one thing I should point out, many of you know this, at Springfield it looks like a sizable increase, but this is for the student union, and this was approved last year, and it's going to be an increase for next year because it went into effect spring semester this year. So next year the students will pay both semesters, and that's why it looks like a sizable increase there. This was a student referendum supporting this great new student union at Springfield. So that's the $200 you see there. And you've also approved the housing and room rates, so again, thank you for that. This is a quick snapshot that we are trying very hard to keep our housing costs down for students, show no increase at Urbana or Springfield, and a modest increase at UIC in terms of housing. Wanted to just continue our discussion. Oops, sorry. It's a little sensitive. There. Continue our conversation in a broader way to really emphasize that we're not just looking at tuition, we're also looking at financial aid, and we're also looking at what our peers are doing. So I'm going to just give you a little bit of benchmarking to give you a sense of where we situate in terms of those issues. These are maybe statistics you aren't aware of or you haven't seen lately. So let's talk a little bit about access for Illinois families. I think we can be very proud of the fact that across our three universities, we are above our peers in terms of admitting and enrolling students from our state. So you can see that Urbana's 73%, well above the Big Ten average. Many people don't realize this, but many of our institutions around the state, the Big Ten, are admitting far fewer residents than we are. And even in the IBHE peer group, Urbana is far surpassing that, 73% versus 55%. Similarly, Chicago, 93% in-state students, and their IBHE peer group is at 72%. So these are really important statistics. I think we should make more noise about this because we're often criticized for enrolling and recruiting students from outside our state, but in fact, we are way beyond what our peer groups are doing in terms of our commitment to Illinois families and their students. Similarly, Springfield, 85% residents, and their peer group is at 73% on average. So make some noise about that because I think it's an important set of statistics that we don't really emphasize enough. These are first-time freshman undergraduate statistics. So that's our commitment. Now, I want to give you a little sense, and I know these are hard to read, but you don't have to really get in depth on the details, although they're all in your slides. But I wanted to give you a sense of how we compare to our peer groups in terms of tuition increases over the last 4 years. So these graphs show you what's happened over the last 4 years when we've had our freeze here at the University of Illinois system. What have our peers been doing? And this is the percent increase for tuition and fees. Okay, so ours isn't zero because we have had some very modest increases in fees, but it shows you what those percentages look like benchmarked against our peers. So this is the Urbana graph, and these are percent increases for, again, tuition and fees, and you can see that Urbana is at about 1.7% increase in 4 years, and that's based mostly on fee. It's all on fees, and it's related to health insurance primarily. But take a moment to look at what the Urbana peer groups look like, and it's at a high. The highest there is University of Iowa that's increased its tuition and fees over that same four-year period by 11%. Okay, so we're at 1.7%, and the highest is at 11, but a lot of them are up there, you can see, ranging between 8 and 12 or 11%. Now, you do see one decrease because University of Washington has actually reduced their in-state tuition. So, but they're an anomaly, okay? And there are only a couple of institutions that have held their costs down. Purdue is a little bit of an adjustment down. But the vast majority of the peers for Urbana are well above the 1.7 increase percent increase for Urbana. Similarly, let's look at UIC. Here is their IBHE peer group comparisons. The percent increase for Chicago is 1.8% in 4 years. Those are fees mostly related to health insurance. And look at where UIC fits relative to its IBHE peer group, with a high at Virginia Commonwealth at 29% increase over the last 4 years in tuition and fees. So again, you don't have to get caught up in the details, but just see where we are in terms of other institutions on the increase front. And here is Springfield with its IBHE peer groups, and Springfield has had a roughly 3.8% increase in 4 years, and that's health insurance and the student union fee, but still very modest compared to its peer group. Shippensburg is at the high there at a 24% increase in tuition and fees over the last 4 years. So important statistics, important benchmarking. Nevertheless, we have to acknowledge, and I think Trustee Edwards, you were asking about this yesterday, where do we fit in our base rates compared to our peers, and we're still relatively high. So it's really important that we are freezing tuition for yet another year. Here's Urbana. It's second behind only Penn State if you look at Big Ten and IBHE peer groups. But what I want to point out is others are catching up, and we already know several of these institutions are going to increase tuition this year while we are freezing it. And so what we're going to see, I think, over time is a lot of those bars at the top end are going to catch up, and some may even surpass us. So we have to acknowledge we increased tuition pretty high in earlier years. We've frozen it the last 4 years. Places are going to catch up to us, but we're still relatively high compared to many of our peers. So this is the Urbana graph. The second one, is Chicago. And again, Chicago's now, I think, fifth overall in compared to its peer group in terms of its base rate for tuition. These are resident undergraduate tuition rates. And but you can see that many of them are catching up and clustering underneath UIC as well. And these are all in your packet, so if you want more details, just go there, and if you have questions about them, you can ask. Here's Springfield, and Springfield is, even with the freeze that we've had, is still the highest in its IBHE peer group, but again, others are catching up, and you can see Shippensburg there that had the really high increase. If they keep going, they will surpass Springfield as well. So it's important to look at the percent increases, feel good about those, but also benchmark against where we are in terms of base rates. Last thing I want to mention is undergraduate financial aid. We talked about this quite a bit at ASAC a couple of months ago, but it's not only about opening our doors for access, it's about making things affordable. And yes, our tuitions tend to be on the higher side, but we are filling in with a lot of financial aid. This graph underscores both trend data and current data. So if you look at the pie chart, that's FY17 data. I want to point out these numbers look a little different than the ones of VJ presented, because his included aid for graduate students, and this is just undergraduate aid. But we are still spending about $219 million in institutional aid. And what you can see is the blue represents what we're spending. The green is what the state and the feds are spending. So we are outspending what we're bringing in from the state or from the federal level on financial aid. And that wasn't always the case. This bar chart over on the right-hand side shows what's happened just in 10 years. And you can see that the green used to be bigger than the blue 10 years ago, and now in 2017, we are spending more than what we're bringing in from Pell Grants, MAP Grants, and federal aid for our students. This is just for Illinois, University of Illinois, system-wide statistics. So I think the point to underscore here is that we are spending a lot of money on financial aid. You might wonder where that money's coming from, and it's coming by us being very careful about our resources, but also some of the tuition that we're charging non-state, out-of-state, and international students is being used for scholarships and financial aid for residents. And last but not least, I want to show you set of statistics that I think are really important as well. And this is the percent of undergraduate students who pay less than full tuition and fees. So this is that idea that we're discounting for a lot of students based on financial need. And so 49% pay less than full at Urbana. This is something we don't talk about enough, frankly. About half the students are receiving financial aid in a way that discounts that base rate fee. And this 64% at UIC and 75% at UIS. So a lot of attention is being paid with my colleagues across all three universities on access, affordability, and ensuring our doors are open and that we're welcoming and that we're that students and families are able to pay what we're charging. So I'm going to end there and ask if there are any questions. I know we're running late, but if anybody has any questions.
Questions or comments?
No questions, just a comment. Thank you, Dr. Wilson. Great information. You know, one of the most important things we can do for the people of Illinois is let their kids come in get a high-class, world-class education at an affordable price. And, you know, we're doing it. We're trending in the right direction. And I really commend everybody for having the courage to do that. We got a ways to go. I mean, we're still the second most expensive, I saw on that list, but we're trending in the right direction. So thank you.
Absolutely.
A couple comments. In your manila folders at your various seating locations, there's a couple copies of the Pocket Facts, which has all the enrollment information that Dr. Wilson mentioned. So, you know, you can, if you're talking to a friend who has questions, it's right there at your fingertips. And the other, one more comment. I think we need to realize that the ability to hold tuition and fees at these levels is the result of an awful lot of very hard work by an awful lot of individuals who work at the university. I want to recognize that, and I, for one, are very grateful for all their work, cost-cutting, whatever, to make this happen. As Ray says, this is a trend. It's going in the right direction, you know. Keep the momentum going, right? To use your expression from this morning. Jill?
I just want to make one comment and reiterate the fact that we can keep tuition flat and increase the number, the percentage of in-state students. I mean, that's really quite a feat. And so I do think we need to get the word out about, you know, how we've been able to not just keep it flat but increase the in-state students. And I'm hoping there's some folks from the media in this room that will help us do that.
Can I ask a couple questions? At Champaign, are all of the, in Urbana, are all of the colleges the same cost?
No.
No, right?
No.
So then what are we representing in these charts then? Are they?
These are the base rate tuition. They do not include differentials that are applied to certain colleges. So that has to be factored in,
right,
when you think about
that, that's
cost.
Not in these numbers. And so if there's an increase for the College of Business or, I mean, engineering is, I don't know, 10,000 undergrads, 12,000?
I don't know. You're testing my... Thank you. That? Andreas?
7,500.
And business is 4,000 to 5,000. And they have a supplement, right?
Right. Yes, but remember that the biggest chunk of students are in LAS, where there is
I understand. I'm just saying that we're representing here on this graph,
right?
Yeah, that's a really
our
good point.
Base rate, which only covers about half of our students. So, just something for everyone to keep
in
mind.
It's probably more than half, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd have to sit down and look at it.
Probably
I think
just engineering and business are the two colleges, probably.
Yeah, so
with differentials.
A third.
Yeah, we had
the
those numbers in the deck yesterday.
Yeah.
So the real question is, Are the differentials increasing? That's
no, they are
no.
Not.
Okay,
so we've held differentials flat because we're holding in-state tuition flat, and
right.
We've been
okay.
Really clear with all of our universities.
So yeah, even
that.
Though there's a differential, like there is at so many colleges, the fact that both the base and the differential are being held flat is.
But your point is the true
yeah.
Cost.
Yeah.
Is for some students is larger than the base.
For one third
tuition.
Of the students, I'm just saying that's just not referenced
Absolutely.
In here at all.
Absolutely.
He's right.
Well, but also remember the last slide that she said of what percent are paying full tuition.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of factors. I have a historical question, being a relatively new trustee. Have we always been, you know, as Ray, Trustee Cepeda pointed out, you know, the second most expensive in our peer group? Or was that something that happened? What era did that happen, if it was recent or...
I think it was before 2010, because I remember I came on the board in 2009, and I remember at least my first year there was a significant increase in tuition, and then, you know, some of us voiced our concern about that, and for the next couple of years it went to basically cost of living, and then we've had the 4 years of freeze. So
Right. Really
over the last 7 or 8 years, the we've really put the reins on the
right. So there
cost
was.
Increase.
Does anyone know if we've always been that high, or that was something that happened in the era before you're talking about, Chairman Gore? It's like the 10 years before that, or when did it happen?
Well, we can get you the specific data on that, but it's essentially the 10 years before.
Well, but
the early part of the 20th.
But one thing we need to look at, Trustee Edwards, is the shift in funding from the state of Illinois mm-hmm. with a replacement from tuition. Mm-hmm. If you look over a 10-year period at Avegit, I'm not exactly sure what that 10-year was, going back to maybe prior 2000?
2004, I think.
What?
From 2004, the real reduction in state funding started. Yeah.
But if you track that over that 10-year period when state funding went down, tuition was just trying to replace the dollars that came from the state. And what we tried to do, you're right, in about 2010 was to say, stop, we can't keep doing this. We can't keep replacing the amount that the state doesn't put into it. Yeah. So that was part of that whole process.
Yeah, I understand, and that's why I keep emphasizing, and I think it's, I'd like to emphasize it one more time, that we have to take a look at our expense ratios versus our peers in a very deep dive way. We may need to hire someone to help us do that along with Avegit's staff because we remain concerningly high versus our peer groups on tuition. And yet in today's world, Trustee McMillan, we receive about the average, as I understand it, percentage of our operating funds from states versus our peers. Mm-hmm. So most of the other peer universities also receive a similar amount of operating expense, and yet we're higher. And so, and we also receive our pension
yes.
payments on behalf, which many, if not most, of our peers do not receive. And so it's absolutely critical that we analyze our expense ratios versus our peers so that we can continue to work the great work that's being done in keeping our tuition increases in the past 4 years to zero, but that's probably not doable forever, but at a minimal level such that we don't disadvantage our recruiting of students with tuition that is substantially higher than our peer group. So we're headed in the right direction. We have a lot of work to do.
Yeah. But even with something as simple as, you know, total cost per student,
yeah.
right? I mean, like, and that...
Including pension costs.
Yeah. We could get that, you know, in a nanosecond. So, and for the other public schools, that's all available, you know, if we could. So I totally agree.
Yeah.
I just want to say a couple of things in response to the comments. They're all really good, and I know we can get you expense per student pretty easily, although sometimes it's hard to get other institutions to give us some of their data. But two things. One is we are one of the only institutions among our peer group that has a four-year guarantee. So you have to take that into account here because students who are going to Iowa or other places don't know what their tuition is going to be in year two, three, and four. So we have to underscore how important that is. The other thing is that the shift to the guarantee to some extent is, I would say, a factor in some of those dramatic raises that occurred many, many years ago. So I think the concern was if we're going to do a four-year guarantee, we better increase pretty big because the cohort won't, it's true, it's what happened. I mean, I remember that era. And so I think the perverse impact of that guarantee was that initially we were doing some sizable increases knowing that the cohort would stay constant over time. I think we have rectified that and we're not doing that anymore, but you asked historically what accounted for some of this. And our peers are not being held to a four-year guarantee for the most part. The other thing I want to say is, hear all what you're saying, and I think what our chancellors would also argue is that to run a world-class institution, you've got to pay salaries for faculty and staff. And we are, in many cases, better, you know, we're ranked higher than many of the peers that you're seeing, partly because we're spending money on things that need to be spent in order to ensure excellence. So we have to take into account the goals and strategic investments that are necessary in order for our institutions to be ranked as high as they are. So that has to be factored into the discussions that we have about spending in the future. So anyway.
I would then look at our peer group sort of rank adjusted then. We should maybe redo our peer group.
Well, we've talked about that with the chancellors just recently.
You know, I mean,
do we
I'm
have
looking
the right
at the peer group and yeah. obviously this is self-serving. We think we're, when I say this, that we're highly ranked and we believe in our institution as being better than all that is on the peer group, which is self-serving. But, you know, there's Michigan on there, and there's, you know, Berkeley and other very highly ranked universities
absolutely.
As well. Yeah.
And they tend to be on the higher end of that continuum.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that, again, is it's a factor which I want to commend is that it's sort of a, you've got the average there. We left off, you know, the supplement. But the flip side is, as you pointed out in your presentation, we have more in-state.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So
absolutely.
You're collecting less per student.
Absolutely.
So it's a balance. Mm-hmm. You can, for the citizens of Illinois, if we say, well, it's 15,000, but we're 75% in-state, well, yeah, we could make it 12,000, but be 50% in-state like Michigan or what, you know, and so.
Absolutely. That's a really good point.
Yeah, and so that's a balance that has to be factored in. And so, again, the chart doesn't take into consider rankings and academic performance and what we need to pay people, and it doesn't take into consider, it's not weight adjusted for the percentage in-state.
Absolutely.
So you say it's higher, but what we're collecting, you know, from total tuition might not be higher because of our percentage of in-state.
No, that's really a good point to underscore.
All right. Thank you, Barb. Great discussion.